Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
Hello and welcome to a very special telecast today. We're so glad that you're joining us for Kingdom Connection. I'm Jensen Franklin. And today's message, I believe, is going to be so fitting to many of your lives. I actually wanted to come into the studio this week and talk to you because so much has been going on in our nation and in our world. Many are going through devastation. The hurricanes and the earthquakes and the signs of the times, as we would call them, all around us. And many people have been left, their life has been left in rubble and pain and sorrow, and it seems like some things have left, and the enemy would love for us to reach a point in our lives where we don't believe there's any hope or any future. And I have a special message today. It's time for a comeback. It's time for a comeback in your life. It's time for a comeback in our nation. It's time for a comeback for the people in Texas and Florida and Puerto Rico and Mexico and people watching this all over the world. So many who are hurting because you've been through your own personal hurricanes or dilemmas in your life that have brought destruction and pain to relationships, families, maybe your health. I hear the Lord saying to you today, it's time for a comeback. It is not over. I was reading this scripture in Genesis chapter 15. It is the chapter that is centered around the covenant that God made with Abraham. This is one of the most important chapters in all of the Bible. We know that Abraham is called in scripture the father of faith. And it says this, when God came to make a covenant with Abraham, He made him two powerful, profound promises. Number one, He said in Genesis 15, and 14, as a nation, you will serve them, and then I'll judge them. And afterward, listen to this, afterward, they shall come back with great substance. There's a comeback coming, Abraham. I'm prophesying, God is saying to Abraham, there is going to be a comeback. Everything that you've lost, everything that you've been through, all of your children that have been taken captive, I'm going to give you a comeback. And when you come back, and when your family comes back, they're going to come back with great substance. And listen to this, verse 15. And you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried. Listen to this. What a promise. At a good old age. I love that. And then verse 16. But in the fourth generation, they shall come back again. They shall come back again in reference to his children and his children's children. I love the fact that God made Abraham two powerful, powerful promises. He said, in the covenant that I'm making with you, number one, I don't want you to fear death. I don't want you to fear the end of your life. I don't want you to get to the end of your life and be tormented with fear and wonder, you know, if things are going to get worse and worse. He said, I promise you that when you come to the end of your life, you're going to come to the end of your life at a good old age. What an unusual phrase, good old age, which implies that there's a difference between good old age and bad old age. I think bad old age would be you can't get around, you can't get along, you can't remember, you've lost everything, you don't have enough resources. That would be a bad old age. But God said, I'm making a covenant with my people, and they're going to come to the end of their life at a good old age. In other words, I have been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. I love the verse that says, as your days are, so will your strength be. That as you get older, you'll come into a good old age. What is a good old age? Psalms talks about, you know, he made David a promise and he said, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Mercy, goodness, all the days of my life. I've got two bodyguards. You can't see them. And it's mercy and goodness, and they follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, that's coming to the end of your life at a good old age. I just want to speak that over every person listening to me today. Maybe you're tormented. Maybe you're worried. Maybe you feel like, well, I've just lost everything. I'm going to tell you something. You haven't lost God. You haven't lost His strength. His goodness and His mercy does not lift off of you. And as your days are, yeah, there'll be tougher days that you face than some others. But as your days are, I'll give you the strength. He said, so will your strength be. You're going to come to the end of your life at a good old age. You ain't going nowhere. You're going to live a long life. I speak that over you today. By His stripes we're healed, we're healthy, we're helped by His grace. And why don't you just say that, a good old age, and smile when you say it, a good old age. I don't want to be a grumpy old man. I want to come to the end of my life at a good old age. Hope I'm still preaching when I'm about 85 years old. And I'm believing that for many of you, a good old age. And then secondly, He said, I don't want you when you go to your grave, because that's what He said in this chapter. When you go to your grave, I don't want you to worry about your children. He said, now I'm not telling you they're not going to go through some things. He said, Abraham, they're going to go through some things. It will look bleak for a while. There will be times when things are not like you want them to be with your children. There will be situations that will break your heart and overwhelm you, and you will see the enemy prevail for a season. But I don't want you, Abraham, to go to your grave worrying about your children. I make you a promise before you ever die. I make you a promise. They will return again. And when they come back, they're going to have a comeback. And when they come back, He said, they'll come back with great substance. I'm promising you they'll come back again. What a promise to all of you who are listening to me today, that there will be a time when the captors will be crushed. There will be a time when the bondage will be broken off of their life. The darkness and defeat that you're facing right now is only transient. It seems to hold everything captive. Maybe you got a child in drug addiction or something, but there's going to be a comeback. God said it. It's part of the covenant that we have with Abraham. I'm going to bring you back where I promised you I would bring you. No matter how pessimistic, no matter how negative it looks today, you're going to come back because we're entering into the season and the time. It's time for a comeback in your life. It's time to get up off the mat if you've been knocked down. It's time to not quit. It's time to not give up. It's time to look up and believe that this is your season for the comeback. I've said this many times, but in Ecclesiastes 3, there are 28 different seasons that are listed, but one season you'll never find in there. It never says, and there is a time and season to quit. There's never a time to quit. Listen to the promise that God makes again. You're going to come to the end of your life at a good old age. Praise God. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And concerning your family, your children, they shall come back again. Maybe they've strayed from the faith. They're coming back. Now you grab hold of that covenant promise and hold on to it today. You know, we may be down sometimes, but we're not out, because we serve the comeback God. Frank Wright was the second string quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. And he was put in halftime in a ball game in the NFL where it is still to this day the biggest turnaround at halftime that a game has ever had in the history of the NFL. The score was 31-0 at halftime. The Bills were losing. The Buffalo Bills were losing. And they put in the second string quarterback, Frank Wright, because they didn't want their first string quarterback to get injured, because obviously the game was over. There's no way that any team could ever come back that far of a deficit. But nobody told Frank Wright. It's interesting that he held the college record in college football for comebacks. He had the record of a team that and led a team in the comeback win in college, and now he's in the NFL. And his logo, his saying was this: "It's never too late to win." Everybody else, including the coach and the team, wrote the game off, but Frank Wright comes back in and he says, everybody else was saying, "We'll just give them this one." He was saying, "We'll give them nothing." And by the way, he won the game 33-31 in the second half. It's a comeback, and to this day, the greatest comeback in the NFL. That's the attitude of our God. He never gives up. He never says, "We'll give them this one." He never says, "It's too late now." 2 Samuel 14:14 is water poured out that cannot be regathered. We say in our time, you know, it's spilt milk. You can't cry over spilt milk. Well, that is exactly what he's drawing a mental picture of in 2 Samuel 14:14. As water poured out that can't be regathered, yet doth God devise a plan that the banished will not be expelled from him. Listen to that. He says, it may seem like your life is like it's poured out, spilled out, it's done, it's messed up. There's no way to get the milk back in the bottle. But God is busy devising a plan where those who have been banished from His presence will be brought back, because He's the God of a comeback. In other words, God knows how and has a way that He is plotting and strategizing concerning your life and the things that you have lost. He says, "I have a way to regather, to regain, to restore, to refresh, to reclaim, to renew your life." God says, "I am a God who makes a way of return for those who have their lives have been spilled out. I want you to have a comeback." Job 14:7 said, "There's hope for a tree that if it is cut down, it will sprout again. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth." There's a river. There's a scent of water. That river is the Holy Spirit. And if you can get into the presence of God, I don't care how your family tree has been cut down. I don't care how your money tree has been cut down. If that tree that has been cut down and looks like it's finished, if it can get a scent of water, that's symbolic of out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. The Bible said in Isaiah that there is a river whose streams thereof make glad, and that river flows and the dead things can live again. I'm so thankful for that river today. The out can get in again. The depressed can dance again. It's time for a comeback. You know, the prodigal son had a comeback. The Bible said that he jumped the fence out of the pig pen and he started moving toward the father's house. And I love the scripture. It said, "And when the father saw him coming from a great distance out, he started running toward him." The father, and I can see that prodigal son, he's in the filth of the pig pen and he sees that old gray-headed father running toward him. The Bible said that when the father got to him, he fell on him and kissed him. I tell you, if you'll just start moving back to God, His love will fall on you. His grace will kiss you. His goodness will restore you. He's not after you to hurt you, to make things miserable in your life. He wants to throw His arms around you and kiss you. I love that phrase, and the Father fell on him. God's goodness is ready to fall on you again. God's favor is ready to fall on you again. God's peace is ready to kiss you again. Aren't you tired of the pig pen? Aren't you tired of that life? The Father fell on him. And boy, I just feel like saying it's about to fall on you and your whole house. This is the time of the comeback. And you can't notice that the boy couldn't make it back home without the father. You can't make it home without the father. You can't get home on your own. You don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. You can't make it home on your own. You need the Father. And He is the key to your comeback. Simon Peter had a terrible denial and failure in his life. He denied the Lord and wept bitterly. Have you ever wept bitterly over the terrible choices and bad decisions that you made? Simon Peter did. But Jesus, when He rose from the dead, said, "Go tell my disciples and Simon Peter to meet me in the upper room." And when He walked up the steps of that upper room, He had a comeback, because He stepped out of that upper room after being filled with the Holy Spirit, and He preached, and 3,000 souls were saved. That's called a comeback. He had a comeback on the day of Pentecost. I'm saying to you today that it's time for your comeback. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is ready to come upon you today. Maybe you're not shouting like you used to shout. Maybe you're not praying like you used to pray. Maybe you're not faith-filled like you used to be. Well, I'm telling you, you're going to shake it off, and it's time for a comeback in Jesus' mighty name. You know, a lot of teams in sports are what they label front runners. They do wonderful as long as they've got the lead. As long as their team is in control of the game and winning, they do fine. But if their team ever falls back, they lose all their confidence. They lose all of their belief and faith in what they are able and possible to achieve. You don't want to be that kind of Christian. As the numbers are in their favor, they're okay. But if the numbers are not in their favor, they begin to waver and get behind. They give up. The devil wants you to think that it's gone forever, that the goodness and the favor and the blessings are gone forever. They are not gone forever. When I think of comebacks, I think of Samson in Judges, the 16th chapter. You know, Samson had Delilah in his life, and she shaved off the 7 locks of hair. And those 7 locks of hair cost him so much, because that was his covenant. That was his commitment to God. He lost his vision. He couldn't see where he was going anymore. He lost his vision. His eyes were put out, the Bible said. The Philistines put his eyes out. He couldn't see that they that be with us are more than they that be with God. He couldn't see the opportunities. The enemy wants to blind you because of what you've been through, and cause you to lose your vision. Secondly, they didn't just blind him, they binded him. They bound him. They bound him in chains. They bound him, and he couldn't get his hands up. He was like a zombie, and they were mocking him. And then they put him in that dungeon, and there he's pressing and crushing the meal as the ox is pulling, and he's got that stone and he's crushing the grain. You know what he was doing? He was making bread for his own adversaries, because he actually began to feed his enemies. The thing he was supposed to be fighting, now he's feeding. That's how you know the enemy has really done a number on you. I'm sure when the devil walked away from that dungeon, and there God's champion, Samson, was. He had so much power, so much anointing, so much favor of God on his life. He was unconquerable at one time in his life. And the enemy had taken his vision and taken his freedom and taken his ability to fight. And now he's actually feeding what he used to be fighting. And I'm sure the enemy walked away as his head was shaved. I can almost see demons laughing, saying, "Boy, we really did a number on him." And that's what the enemy's been saying about you. "We really did a number on that family. We really did a number on that marriage, on that home. We really messed them up. Look, they've lost everything," and they're laughing. But listen to me carefully. Something was happening. The Bible said in verse 22, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." They clipped it short. But the Philistines, when they were not looking, something was happening in his head. That's where a comeback starts. Before you get a comeback physically, financially, emotionally, it starts in your thinking and in your head. It starts mentally. And when the Philistines were not looking, what they had taken from Samson was coming back. I'm saying to you today that the enemy should have kept his eye on you, because the reason you're watching this telecast is God is wanting you to know that when the enemy hasn't been looking, God has been bringing back. It's starting right now in your head. Just like the hair started growing back on Samson, God says, "I am the God of the comeback." And Samson walked into that Philistine temple of Dagon, and he put his hands on the pillars of the temple, and he said, "Oh God, do it one more time. Lord, I love that prayer that he prayed. He said, God, I've felt your power before. I've seen your goodness before. You've used me before. And I know that I went through that season where it looks like the enemy just shaved and took everything that I had. But God, do it one more time. Somebody needs to say that right where you are. Give me a comeback. Give me a comeback. Notice it's starting right there with Samson. And he started pushing on those pillows. And when he started pushing, the Bible said he killed more Philistines in his death in one time, one battle, than he did all of the time that he was alive. He said, God, do it one more time. Somebody's hearing me today and you're saying, I want to have a comeback. I'm saying to you today that it's not only possible, it's probable. God is ready to give you a comeback. We're living in the time of the comeback. What is that? He said, I will restore the years the cankerworm and the locust have taken for you. He said, in the fourth generation, Abraham, don't worry about your family. They're going to come back. I promise you that you're going to come to the grave at a good old age. And many of you have been tormented with fear and worry. Many of you are worried about your finances and worried about your health. But I speak healing and health to you today. It's time for your comeback. Many of you are concerned about your family and your home and your marriage and your relationships. I just speak the power of God's restoration. He says, I have devised means whereby to bring back all the stuff that has been spilled out of your life, all of the attacks of the enemy. I'm going to bring you back to where you're whole again. I'm believing for that in your life. And I'm thinking about today that if you need a comeback spiritually, if you need a comeback physically or financially, if it's darker and colder spiritually than it's ever been, I'm prophesying to your life, it's time for your comeback. Jesus died. They wrote him off. The devil had a party. But on the third day, he had a comeback. And he says, because I overcame, you can overcome. So today, I want to give you that opportunity. I want you to ask the Lord today to give you a comeback. I love the fact that these promises came to Abraham concerning his people. He said, there's coming a day, Abraham, when it'll look like your descendants will be so scattered and so destroyed and so devastated. Think of the Holocaust. Think of the Second World War. Think of how that it looked like the seed of Abraham, the Jewish people, were completely annihilated. But God had promised in Genesis 15 that you can go to your grave at a good old age. I'm going to take care of your children. And in the fourth generation, they're coming back. We're now celebrating the 50th anniversary of the city of Jerusalem. It's the year of Jubilee. And I'm saying to you that those people are coming back. As a matter of fact, there's more people from the Holocaust survivors. Now about 190,000 of them have come back to Israel. What a prophecy. And God says they're going to come back and they're going to enjoy a good old age. I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit more. But I just feel like saying to you right now who are going through fearful, troubling times, you've been decimated and wiped out. Look at the nation of Israel and how it's blessed. God makes the promise and He knows how to orchestrate your comeback. Maybe you need forgiveness. Maybe you need a life change. Maybe you need deliverance. Maybe you want to come back from an addiction that has taken so much from you. This is your moment. Pray this prayer. Jesus, say these words. Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender everything to you. I need another chance. I need a comeback, just like you did for Samson, just like you did, oh God, for Abraham. I need a comeback. And this is my time, and you're the God of the comeback. I receive you. Jesus, say that. In Jesus' name, I am going to have my comeback. I'll be right back. We're going to pray one more time before we leave today. God bless you.
The Holocaust ended more than 70 years ago, yet there are still tens of thousands of elderly people who experience the horrors of the Nazi death camps. And today, there are about 190,000 of them still alive in Israel. Unbelievably, more than 50,000 of them continue to live in poverty. God has placed it in our hearts to do what we can to help. We are partnering with Friends of Zion to build two assisted living facilities in the heart of Jerusalem. Your gift of $1,000 will provide our Jewish brothers and sisters with a safe place to live. With your one-time gift of $1,000, we'll place your name on a special founder's wall at both buildings in Israel as a reminder for years to come of the love and compassion that you have shown. And as a special gift of appreciation, we'll send you a personalized crystal plaque. When you send your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you a special founder's certificate honoring your investment in this project. And everyone responding will receive the CD teaching, It's Time for a Comeback. Every gift, no matter the size, will help accelerate the vision. And together, we can be a blessing to Israel. To learn more, call now or visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.
As I preach today this message about the comeback, I am so excited to share with you something that God has laid upon my heart. My friend, Dr. Mike Evans, who heads up an amazing ministry in the nation of Israel called Friends of Zion, has approached me about a tremendous need that the prime minister there in Israel asked him for help with. The number one humanitarian need of the nation of Israel is to help Holocaust survivors have housing, food, and clothes. And so we have decided to link together to partner with Friends of Zion to provide housing right in the city of Jerusalem for Holocaust survivors that are coming. 190,000 have survived and made their way back. They're having the comeback from the nations of the world after the Holocaust, the horrors of the death camps. They have the tattoos where they were given the death sentence, but by God's grace, they're still alive in their 70s and 80s. But unfortunately, many of them have no living family members. Therefore, they have no family help, and so they're impoverished, many of them homeless, and they're in desperate need of clothing, food, and shelter. We're going to provide permanent housing for many of these. 50,000 homeless are in the nation of Israel, and we're going to help feed, clothe, and house them. I'm asking you today to be a part of the comeback, to fulfill the prophecy that God gave to Abraham. And remember, Jesus said, as you do it unto the least of these, my brothers, you do it unto me. And so today I'm asking every person who watches this telecast and believes in the power of God to bring a comeback in your life to make it happen for Jesus, because He said, if you do this unto me, you do it. If you do it unto them, you do it unto me. And I'm believing today that there are hundreds of you that will step up and sow an unusual one-time gift of $1,000. This is an immediate need. We've already got the property purchased. Now we need to begin immediately to do renovations. Will you help me today? I'm asking a minimum of 500 of you that I'm talking to today to say, I'm going to be one of the 500 and sow a $1,000 seed. We're going to see something amazing happen. You can have a part of a legacy. Not only will they come back and have a home and have a good old age, I believe you're going to have a comeback in every area of your life as you sow into this critical, important project. Thank you. Pray for us as we endeavor to do something great in the nation of Israel. Be a part of it today.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit jensenfranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter at Jensen or Facebook at Jensen Franklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.